Camille.
Bit of a dry mouth. There we go. Causing damage already. So let's just going to set my things up. Morning, everyone. Nice to see you all again. So yeah, it's going to be a bit of a challenge this morning. I've got no PowerPoint, so we're going back to the 90s, I think. So we just need to acetate and then we're all set, but there you go. So today, I was really really encouraged, putting this talk together to share about God's love, because I believe that, you know, God's love is a powerful thing, and in whatever circumstance in life you're at, you know, whether it's good or bad, you know, we all need God's love. And I believe it's the, you know, the most powerful thing we can all have, you know, whether we believe or not, to be honest. But yeah, I was going to start off my talk having some pictures like depicting love. So I, on my PowerPoint, I would have put a picture of like this heart, you know, all the trash you get on Valentine's Day, all the hearts everywhere. You know, you go into the shop, you know, you're just sick and tired of all the commercialism. And, you know, if it was just me on my own, I wouldn't need to do Valentine's Day, but I'm married now, so I got no choice. But I do get lint balls from it. So, if you know what lint balls are, they're delicious, but there you go. Another image of, Valentine's could be like, you know, people with pets, you know, people, you know, some people really love their animals. They had a picture of a woman holding a puppy, you know, as they say, and they call it puppy love. I'm too young to remember that song. But yeah, that's another form of love. And love could also mean, if you see the thing called emojis now, for those of you who don't know what an emoji is, it's basically like smiley faces, and one of the emojis is the one with the hearts in his eyes, and just another depiction of love. Also, there's one of the more important things of love in my life is my wife, Claire. There was a picture of us at the football. You know, that's how much Claire loves me, that she's willing to watch Newport County with me. That takes a lot of loving, I think. So yeah, you know, give credit to her for that, really. That basically, like, just an examples of what love is. But I believe as a Christian, the greatest depiction of love is when Jesus died on the cross. So also, obviously, you see pictures of Jesus hanging on the cross, which obviously would have been pretty barbaric, you know, way to die in those times. And as you can imagine, it was quite humiliating as well. But because Jesus loved us so much, he was willing to go through all that humiliation, that pain, and that, you know, the sheer pain of being put on a wooden cross, you know, splinters and all, but the nails through your hands. As you can imagine, you know, it's quite a, you know, barbaric way to be sacrificed. But, you know, praise the Lord Jesus, through God's love, you know, Jesus conquered death. And we can praise that every day, I think. So they're just some examples of what love is, really. And the way that I'm going to share this talk today is that I'm going to do typical Baptist, 3 points. So the 3 points I want to focus on is, the first point is the call to love. So if you keep your Bibles open to 1 John 4, so verses 7 to 12, we're going to focus on the call to love, that, you know, God wants us to love. Then the next point I'm looking at is God's love in us. So the way that God's love in us is through the Holy Spirit. And then the third point I want to look at then is the command to love others, which, you know, is a challenge, but, you know, is what God wants us to do, and it's a command to do so. So the first point I'm going to look at is the call to love. Now, in verse 7, you know, John tells his readers that we should love one another as love comes from God. And to answer this, we need to know what God's love is and why we should love others. God's love is expressed through the gift of his son, Jesus Christ, as you would have seen on the picture of the crucifixion. You know, as someone once told me at one of these youth festivals before, that God loves us so much, he loves us this much, and that's kind of the depiction of his hands on the cross. And another quote that someone told me before was, you know, if you were the only person on this world, God would have still died for you. That's how much God loves you. You know, God's love, God's love is when he sent his son Jesus. And not only did God send Jesus to come and have a relationship of love with us, but he came, as I said, to be crucified, but to save us from all the bad things we have done, whether it was the bad things we've done yesterday, today, or even tomorrow. No, Jesus' crucifixion covers all our sins. Jesus also came to restore God's love in our lives. This was taken when man decided to fall away from God in the Old Testament, when Adam and Eve, you know, obviously they took the forbidden fruit, and that's obviously when sin began. You know, the most amazing thing about the Christian faith is that we can't earn God's love through our actions, but we can receive it through the grace of Jesus Christ. Despite all the wrong things and all our shortcomings, God loved us first. He could have kept Jesus in heaven. You know, he could have kept his only son, but God had to send Jesus to get us back. That was the only way where the bridge between us and God had to be restored. So I was shown an image before where you had like man on one side, a bridge, and then God on the other side. When we sin, that bridge is broken, but that bridge is restored as a cross, and that cross is Jesus Christ. So Jesus reconciled us to God through his crucifixion. So through Jesus' sacrifice, he doesn't see our sin, which broke the relationship we had in God in the originally, but he sees Jesus. Jesus is the one who took on our sin so that we can be reconciled to God. That is amazing love. That is the best love that anything can be shown through love. And then as we move on in these verses, if you look at verse 11, it shows that as God has loved us because of Jesus, we should love each other as well. If God can love us, then surely we can love each other, right? One of my favourite verses about love, you may want to turn to it. You know, I'm not going to do a sword drill because, you know, I know how competitive some of you are. But in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 8, it says, Peter says, above all, love each other deeply, because love covers a multitude of sins. So that means that the love template that God has shown through Jesus, we need to replicate to others as well. So love covers a multitude of sins. When you think of the word love, you're most likely going to think of intimacy. But love, I believe, should also represent repentance and reconciliation. This is really important when we let each other down. But if we can love each other, then love is stronger than our sins. And, you know, for me, when I can testify my life when I've let Claire down, you know, whether it's big or, you know, small things, through our love for each other, you know, that has picked us back up. But most importantly, because we believe in Jesus, because of the love that God has shown us, we believe that we should share God's love for others, whether we're married, whether we're in the church, or whether it's our colleagues, or, you know, anyone else for that matter. Because, you know, because God loved us first, you know, we should love each other. And, you know, the thing is with God's love is that love, as I said, is stronger than our sins, but death could not extinguish God's love for us through Jesus Christ when he was crucified. You know, God could have said, right, that's it. I, you know, I've had enough. You know, these people I've created are just too sinful. I don't want them to do nothing with them anymore. But because, you know, God says, you know, God loved us so much that he sent Jesus, you know, love overcame the darkness of sin. Now, just remember that when you're going through a dark period, love conquers darkness. You know, love is, through God's love, that is that could be victory in our lives. And remember that. Just, you know, share it with others. Well, you know, if you believe that what God's done in your life through his love, share it with others to encourage each other, because, you know, God's love is for all who receive Jesus. So the next point then I want to look at is God's love in us, and that is in verses 13 to 18. So we've already seen how God loves us through his son Jesus Christ. But the other form of God's love expressed in our lives is through the Holy Spirit. So how is God's love shown in our lives through the Holy Spirit?
Firstly, if you are a Christian, if you believe in Jesus and have accepted Jesus into your life, then God will give you the Holy Spirit into your life. So basically, this is a marker on your life to show that you're God's child, you're property of God now. You know, you are, and then also that God loves you and wants to live within you through the Holy Spirit. Do you ever feel that you're going through some tough times? Do you feel that you may have done something that, you know, God doesn't love you for? Do you think that you've done something where, you know, God, you just feel that I've done this, how can God love me? Don't believe those lies. Those are lies from the devil. Because in verse 16, John tells us that we can rely on God's love if he lives in us through the Holy Spirit. And when the word rely is used, this is not by feelings. Now remember that, because, you know, for Christians, we can easily get into the motion that it's only when we feel good that we can feel God's love. You know, we shouldn't depend on feelings. It's through faith that we should know God's love. And remember that when, you know, you're feeling down, that it's our relationship with Jesus Christ. The love that God shows us is not dependent on how we're feeling. It's dependent on our faith in Jesus Christ and what God has done for us. So, and, you know, when the word is when I say faith, is also, we should also embrace God's hope and love. And in, if you look at 1 Corinthians 13, obviously in the last section, Paul the Apostle says that, and now these three remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. And it's interesting to note, you know, when people say, "Oh, I fancy that person," or even love for them, they can say that they have feelings for that person. But I believe it's more powerful to say that you have faith and hope in someone, because, as I said, feelings are limited, where faith, hope, and most importantly, love, go much deeper. And also, it lasts longer, where feelings last the moment. And this is so true for us, for God's love in us, but how does it work for us in our lives? John tells us in verse 16 and 17 that if we live in love, God lives in us. And as well as God living through us, through love, there are two important things that John wants us to share about God's love in us. The first one I want to share with you is that we can have confidence in the day of judgment because we have God's love. And if Jesus is the Lord of our lives, then we are like Jesus in this world. What this means is that God looks at Jesus in our lives because of his love. And I really love this verse in Romans 8, in verses 1 to 2. And it says that, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Jesus Christ, the law of the Spirit who gives you life has set you free from the law of sin and death. So what that basically is saying is, how can God condemn us if Jesus has taken our sins to the cross? So through God's love, through Jesus' love for us on the cross, we as Christians are not condemned, regardless of what we've done in our lives. And the second point is that there is no fear in love. Perfect love drives out fear. I really love this verse because it gives me assurance that despite all the fears we may have, God's love is greater than all of these fears. And for me, you know, I believe that fear can be such a stronghold or bunch of chains in our lives, whether it's worries as to what we have or what will happen or what we've done. You know, I believe that fear is one of the devil's weapons in kind of like, you know, trying to mess up our lives. But God's perfect love casts out all fear. And I've experienced this myself, that when I've struggled and been fearful of things, that when I've known God's presence, that fear dissipates. I mean, because fear is such an awful, it can be such a stranglehold, you know, for anyone. And I believe that, you know, God doesn't want us to be in fear. God wants us to be in peace and in victory in Jesus. And if you look at 2 Timothy verses 1 to 7, it says, "For the Spirit of God does not make us fearful, but it gives us power." Because, you know, it gives us power, love, and self-discipline. So through the Holy Spirit, that can drain out all the fear that we may have, and then replace it with God's peace and His power through the Holy Spirit. So perfect love drives out fear. That perfect love comes from God. The perfect love is not found in this world, not found in intimacy with others, not found on TV, not found, not even, you know, not ultimately, it's not ultimately found in sex. You know, got the perfect love is found in God and through Jesus Christ. And, you know, when we do fear, you know, when we do choose to fear, then how can, you know, God's love be made perfect in us? A little analogy that I've heard of before is you could have two dogs in your life. So you could have a good dog or you can have a bad dog. And whatever dog you feed, it would be most dominant dog in your life. So the good dog can represent, you know, God's love in our lives, where the bad dog could represent, you know, all the fear in our lives. So however we feed our lives spiritually and through God's love, is whether it's love or fear, that can affect us in everything. So, you know, make that decision every day that when you're fearful, choose to have faith in God's love instead, because God loves you so much, He doesn't want you to be fearful. And that could be fear for anything. You know, anything in your lives. Because, you know, God didn't make us to be living fear. That's the devil's tactics. That's what the devil wants us to do. But, you know, God's love is overcomes all the fears that we have in our lives. So, that's really the second point, really. We've learned that God has called us to love, you know, as called us to love, and God's love is in us through the Holy Spirit if you believe in Jesus and you've accepted Him in your life. As Christians, you know, we are blessed to have God's love in our lives. You know, God's love, if you've known Jesus, whether it's a month, 10 years, 100 years, you know, we can testify that what God has done in our lives. I'm sure there's many testimonies of people here over the years of God's love, you know, working in the good and the bad times. And I have many testimonies myself. But, you know, the end part of this scripture, you know, is the final challenge that's what's being said here. And, you know, it's the command to love others. So, you know, the command to love others, it is a command. And, you know, John tells us that basically if we don't love our brothers and sisters, so this is in verses 19 to 21. So if we don't love our brothers and sisters in Christ, then, and we love God, we are basically hypocrites. So in Matthew 22, verses 37 to 40, if you want to turn to that, because it was a couple of verses, there's obviously three verses there. Jesus says, "Love the Lord God with all your heart and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." So what is being said there, what Jesus says is, firstly, love God first. Secondly, love your neighbor second. But if you only love God, but don't love your neighbor, then that nullifies God's love, because you can't love your neighbor. So what this means is that may the overwhelming, amazing love that God shows us should not just be exclusive between us and God, but it also has to be for those around us. You know, I say this is a challenge because we're all different people in the church. And, you know, we all have different views, opinions, outlooks, you know, different ways of thinking. But Jesus has called us to have the same love that we have for ourselves and God to be replicated to others as well. And, you know, What about and what about when people in the church let us down? You know, whether it's this church, other churches, you know, do we withhold our love because of these circumstances? And to reflect on this, if you look at Matthew 18, I'm not going to read any verses from it, but it's the story, the parable, the story that Jesus told about the ungrateful servant. So, to summarize it, Jesus tells a story about a servant who had a large debt. And, you know, gets let off by the king, is after the servant pleads for mercy for him to remove that large debt. However, the same servant then has a fellow servant, another servant asking him, so this is servant A then, asks a fellow servant, servant B, who, asks servant A to be let off of a smaller debt that servant B owed servant A. But servant A refuses to let off this smaller debt, which meant that the king, the other servant saw this, and the king took back the freedom from servant A and then threw servant A in prison. So what this means is that, you know, this, what the story is saying is that if God can love us for all the bad things, all the awful things that we may have done, you know, in our lives, and then we don't let off any other people around us for, you know, much smaller things that they may have done to us, or even bigger, you know, big things, then how is God loving us in those circumstances? And, you know, I go back to the first point where it says, one of the first points it says, love covers a multitude of sins. So, you know, remember that, how much God loves you and how much God has let you out through Jesus when someone has a grievance with you, you know, not just in church, but in your workplace, in wherever you go. You know, it's a challenge. I know sometimes it could be a bigger challenge when it's bigger things that someone's done to you. But just remember this, that God has created you and he's created that other person or other people that you may have a grievance with. And God loves you as much as he loves the other people. So just, you know, reflect on that when, you know, you feel that it's hard to forgive someone. Because, it can be difficult to forgive others when there's been big things in your life. But, you know, don't let that stop you forgiving others. Just know how much God has done for you. Just know how much God loves you, that overwhelming, amazing love. So that's basically it, the three points. I just want to sum up to say that, you know, God's love is amazing, and, you know, God's love in us, you know, because of the amount of love that God's given us in our lives are better for it if you believe in Jesus and God is in your life. You know, you put God as the center. But the question is that love really in you if we cannot love our brother and sister? So I say that love others like God loves you, because if you do that, then their lives will be better for it as well. So that's all I'm going to say. And I just want to finish up with a little prayer, just so we can, you know, focus and just reflect what God has shared with me and in the book of John as well. So yeah, Father God, we just thank you for your word and the overwhelming, amazing love that you've not just shown in my life, but everyone here, Lord, that the love that you could show, you know, your love doesn't just stop yesterday or today or something we've done. You know, your love is the same yesterday, today and forever. And I just pray a blessing for each of us here today that we can experience God's love every day in our lives through Jesus. And even when we don't feel like in a good place, that we can know God's love in that, in the good and the bad places, Lord, because you are with us. Even when we can't see it, Lord God, we can have the faith to know in our hearts that Jesus is here and he will never leave us or forsake us, Father God. And we are not condemned if Jesus is in our lives. So thank you for this, Father God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.